Welcome to another episode of Happy Hamstrings. This is your host, Julie Brown. It is March 7th. This is a two-episode Monday. I'm back. I came on before yoga. I should say after yoga, before yoga. Right in between yogas. I did an episode this morning. And I don't know why I do this. I always mix up my Monday night schedule. So I'll remember that I have a trampoline class on Mondays. And then I'll remember that I have aqua fitness on Thursday nights. And somehow I forget that I have yoga before aqua and I have spinning before the trampoline class. Anyway, that's not the first Monday I've mixed it up. I just sort of get off of the podcast and look at my schedule and then I'm like, oh, that's what we're doing today. Maybe I'm getting so comfortable with spinning. I don't know. Anyway, my schedule is like all over the place, just like the weather. It was warm and sunny earlier, and now the thunder is rolling, and I'm actually in a zone that they're giving us weather warnings because they're saying unsecured items and loose limbs could damage power lines. We're going to wait and see what happens. I've got about, 5 hours before I need to leave, something like that. 4.5, really. Anyway, not like you're counting. You're listening to this sometime in the future. So I stopped off and looked at a building today. And I actually called the number instead of emailing. I emailed one about Oxford. Didn't hear back anything. I didn't call them. I just wanted them to call me. And they didn't. It's been about a week ago. And I saw a place today. And honestly, the one I was looking at was like almost 7,000 square feet. And when I got the call back and he said, $19.50 a month, I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty good. But I'm like, there's no floor. He said, well, there used to be a floor. And I said, maybe we're talking about like it's one strip mall, but maybe this is like two different spaces. And he's agreed that indeed that he was talking about a 1,400 square foot place for the $19.50 a month. Now, before I get into this, I don't need to know because I know. Don't tell me, wow, Julie, that's cheap for, yes, for business rent. I know this is cheap comparatively. However, for what a yoga instructor makes in a small town, that's the perspective I have to look at it, even though it's like, yeah, that has potential out the wazoo. And yes, in big cities, it's probably 3 times as much. So I know. Alabama property is inexpensive. That's just part of living here. Most things usually are less. And that's actually why, that is the reason why most people end up staying a lot longer than they intend when they're living in this area, because the cost of living when you move, it doubles as soon as you leave town. So anyway, apparently he has a 6,900 square foot building, which I was peeking and taking pictures, and it looked rough. Like the floor was all concrete and a lot of things were unfinished. It looked like they put up some sheetrock, like new wall. It's not been primed or painted or anything. Definitely a work in progress. And I'm like, if I get that space, do I have to like invest in the flooring? I mean, are you gonna finish it? And he said something like, we don't normally build out, but we would. I mean, yeah, for $5,000 a month is what I'm thinking. Of course, you know, you're going to do something. You're going to have to, I mean, I'm not going to rent a space for my first place where I have to put the floor down, I don't think. Like, I don't want to think that's going to happen, but that may be what has to happen because of the kind of floor I'm going to want. It's probably something that, even though I've written my quotes and my rates 1,000 times over, I forgot. Like, none of these places are going to have a floor that I love. Probably. The other thing is, he's talking like $19.50 per month on a 5-year lease, like minimum of 5 years. So we're talking like now we're well into a $100,000 investment for a building that I'm not buying, that I'm just like renting. That doesn't feel smart, right? Like I could just buy a building for when I spend $117,000, I may as well have just bought the building. There's so many possibilities, and what I told him was the square footage and the amount of rent depends on what the bank gives me, because that depends, you know, like they're going to have to see the potential that I see in the space, and they're going to have to believe that I'll make the money back to pay them back, or else they're never going to give me the loan. And yoga is so beneficial. One of the things that we do is we solve the problem of, like, our health crisis. If we are healthier and we have a great immune system from exercising, yeah, that's going to solve some problems. Not like everybody's problem. Anyway, I have a lot of writing to do. I have a lot of statistics to write down to prove that yoga does improve joint health. It does create stronger bones, but I need references, even though I know these things. I need actual references, so I have lots of books to pull out and study, notes to make this, like, feasible, because I'm not going to reveal out my confidential business ideas to some random person I'm wanting to rent a space from. And that's kind of what I told him. I'm not going to let all my eggs out of the basket. I don't know what I'm going to get yet. It pretty much is, like, up to a bank, the bank that approves me. Going back to yoga helping my mental health, which is something I go on and on and on about, I want to just be really transparent and say I have had a lot of mental stress the past few days, like seriously high levels of stress, highly wound up, just anxiousness all over the place. I'm really not sure, like, exactly when it started, but something I forgot to tell you happened last night, and this has nothing to do with yoga. It's just about me being nervous a lot. For example, there was a moment where, I say a moment, my husband went away on a business trip, and I'm glad this didn't happen while he was gone. So last night, someone, like, knocks on the door. They just, like, they knock really soft on my front door, like almost so quiet. And I'm sitting on the couch, and my exact words, I looked over and I whispered. Of course he can hear it, so I didn't have to tell him. I said, someone's knocking on the door, and I don't know why, and I'm going to let you handle this. And I was so nervous. I don't know why, but I've had so many things happen to me over my life. I didn't even want to, if he had not been here, I didn't even want to know. Because the last time I had a random person knock on the door, I opened the door and they asked about a random name and then they were lost. And that's kind of what happened here. He was like, where is Tiffany? And it's like, who is Tiffany? No one knows. I mean, we've lived here 21 years. There's no Tiffany here. And then he asked, did Tiffany live next door? And my husband's like, I don't think so. He said the guy was lost. He had a backpack and was looking for Tiffany. So whatever. Who is Tiffany? I don't know. All I know is that that was 9 o'clock at night. And you don't go around in Alabama and just knock on random strangers' doors at 9 o'clock at night and not know where you're at. Yeah, the last time it happened, it freaked me out. This time it happened, still freaked me out. I want to use yoga to improve my mental health so I can be more like the yogi teachers that I have, and everything that happens, they just sort of are like, well, that's a thing that happened, and then they let it go. But now I'm back to activated mode. I really need to sell this house, because ever since the break-in and ever since the rocks were thrown and broken in the car's windows and the front house windows, ever since all these things have happened, I go in and out of my house like I am a person on patrol. Woman on high alert, high patrol. I'm always like seeing if I recognize, is this the same person who walks, like, you know what I mean? Like, if I see someone who's random, I'm like making a mental note, like, okay, that's a random person who's not usually walking to the store. Not like I'm sizing them up or judging them, that I'm just really heightened awareness. If people park in the street in front of my house, I'll take pictures of their tag, because that has to do with another business, but that's not legal either. That's not safe to park in the middle of the street when there's traffic. I mean, this is a school zone. Yeah, just, I'm already highly activated. I don't need people just showing up
knocking on my door at 9 o'clock asking about Tiffany. I'm just glad that I wasn't the one to go out there, because I was already in the past couple of days, I've already been in like such a hyper bad mood, like not bad, hyper bad. And if I had gone out there, I would have been like, there's not been a Tiffany in this house at least 21 years I've lived here. No one named Tiffany. I wouldn't have been like that. I would have been just like, well, I've lived here 21 years and there's never been a Tiffany, and I don't know what you're talking about. Like, and then if he would have said next door, I would have looked at him and just thrown my hands up, like, shake my head, like, whatever. I'm not doing roll call in my neighborhood for you. 9 o'clock at night. Are you kidding me? So, luckily for this person, and luckily for me, I wasn't alone, and they actually had a conversation with someone else, because it wasn't going to be me. So, I'm just thinking, if I meditate every day on the daily, and I go back to this, maybe I can communicate a little more properly. Maybe I can slow down a little bit more. Maybe I can focus on my intentions. And also trying to understand how financially a successful yoga studio even exists, like without charging extremely high rates. I've looked into some studios that do similar to what I want to do, and the drop-in fee is like $25 per person. I have a lot to think about, because even if I charge $25 per person, you know, and then I'm going to have situations where equipment breaks, and then I've got to pay my employees and et cetera. It just goes on. Like, the examples just continue to go on and on. There was this really great place in Oxford called Alume, and I thought they really had it going on. I went there twice, and one time some people's cars were busted into. They, like, shattered, whoever robbed them, like, shattered the windshields out. They shouldn't have left their purses in their seat, but still, not a good look for Oxford, right? And I kept thinking I wanted to have my business in Oxford, looking at businesses in Oxford, looking at how high traffic is in Oxford, thinking that was a good thing. But most people become annoyed when they can't really drive around the exchange, and they kind of give up. I actually thought I wanted to have my studio in the exchange, but now things are kind of leaning in hard towards Jacksonville. But those buildings, some of these buildings are so old, and some of these spaces, they need so much work. It's just hard to know where to go. And why do I keep on going back to the brick and mortar? It's because I see a financial potential, and I see a community benefit that would help. It would help the people who practice yoga in a serious way to have a studio that has a big, diversified, and committed schedule, that have a very serious, like, mission, instead of just like, hey, we're a studio, we're just chilling. If they have a big time mission statement with a theme, or maybe just each class has its own theme, and do a lot of community involvement, I would actually ask my employees to work with places like the ARC, where they help adults that have, like, situations where they can't always help take care of their own selves. And maybe that's what the ARC is teaching in some of their classes. Now, some of them they can, some of them they just need help. So the ARC has, like, special needs programs for adults, because a lot of times people, they're on special needs programs, and then when they turn 18, a lot of the programs just cut them loose. Like, okay, you're grown. And there needs to be something more, like a next chapter thing, and that's kind of where the ARC steps in. I've worked with them before. And if I have a brick and mortar, I'm definitely going to ask my employees to devote time. You know, not a lot of time, but devote a little time to community help for places like that that are underfunded. Just, you know, I have so many ideas. Just, I don't even want to share them all. I have to keep some of it confidential, or else someone else is just going to take all my ideas, because they've got the money, like I don't have, and they're just going to, like, steal all my ideas and open it all up. So that's why I have to keep it
in my little confidential report I'm typing up. For now, everything's just in a little notebook. So anyway, yeah, happy hamstrings on your to-do list, right? You doing yoga? Keeping your hamstrings happy? Listening to the podcast? Listening to me talk about how things are changing and shifting? I'm trying to watch my energy. I'm trying to shift my vision towards brick and mortar, but not too quickly. I want to make it like a gradual thing. I did take out a Facebook ad. I will say that my teacher was right. This is something you can't edit. And luckily, I didn't take out either one of these ads for any amount of money that would have hurt my pocket badly. But I did a very small amount of money for an ad to generate interest. Now, there's two ways you can generate an ad. One's to generate ticket sales, and the other one is to generate interest. And my teacher, Michelle, was 100% right when she said, you would think that to make more money, you would hit generate ticket sales, but it seems like generate interest works like a lot more. So if you don't know what I'm talking about, I have an ad running on Facebook for Alpaca Yoga Day. Now, I'm almost wondering if I should have just set that money on fire with the second ad, because I don't think it's generated that much interest. I asked one of my friends to share it. They said they shared it yesterday, and I thanked them. Looked on their page. I don't know if they meant they shared it to their story or if they shared it and then they deleted it. No idea, but it wasn't there. I was like, okay, don't overthink this. Just like the other day, I thought someone blocked me over my comments on a bagel cartoon. It turned out they'd given up. A lot of people gave up social media for Lent. So if you notice some of your friends aren't there right now, and it's just after Lent, it could be related to, if they're Catholic, it could be that they gave up social media for Lent. Like, some folks give up chocolate, some folks might give up just coffee or ice cream or whatever that they love. So some folks have given up social media, and I sort of like worried a little much. I worried that I said something. Now, on a bagel cartoon, I was like, I hope I didn't upset somebody. Like, I don't know what I said. Like, did I use the wrong emoji or something like that? And it turned out her daughter told me, like, no, she's not mad at anybody, and she didn't block anybody. She's just taking a break for Lent. And I was like, oh, that's brilliant. And then I'm like, wow, what kind of goofball am I? I'm a goofball who needs more time and meditation. Anytime that we find ourselves with that mind chatter, the self-doubt, it's always great to just take a step back and say, hey, do I need to just like sit with this and meditate on it? All right, so here come the storms. Storms are coming in. I'm going to go ahead and stop this episode because I need to charge my phone. There is a very serious threat of losing power today. And just in case we do, I want to have all my devices charged up and ready to go. Thank you for listening wherever you're at. Just listening to this podcast helps. And thank you for coming to my yoga. If you come to my yoga, you help. You help me. You stay in your zone and you keep me in my zone. And whatever you're doing today, please be inspired. Please be happy, healed, and we accept that peacefulness and freedom are our true nature. Namaste.